I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Francis?
Yep.
You know we're going to be traveling a lot together when we're like on tour?
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Well, look... can we do something when we're on the train?
I'm not doing the crossword with you again. Your spelling is atrocious.
Obviously, it's not that.
What is it? I'm not playing truth or dare either. I don't like any of that. I don't like where it went last time.
No, it's not truth or dare, okay? It's obviously something that you're going to like. I know it's not, you know, you're going to like it, okay?
Go on then.
Okay, ready for this? Now TV. Now, did you know you can stream over 300 box sets and they have over 1,000 movies with brand new premiere every day? We can watch it together. How about Justice League? Okay, it's got Gal Gadot. Okay, she is literally a goddess. And Patrick Melrose with Benedict Cumberbatch, who is just incredible.
Look, I don't want to watch anything with you. You always talk over it. It's really annoying.
Yeah, but I can have one earphone. You can have the other earphone. Like, it would work. Okay?
That's gross with your horrible earwax.
That's a bit harsh.
Well, look, I'll be in the quiet carriage watching A Discovery of Witches and Billions, and you'll be somewhere else annoying other people, and that's how we should leave it.
What? Why would you? Fine, whatever. Like, I don't care. I've already finished Billions, okay? And have you seen the bit where...
Hey, shh, no spoilers, please.
I feel much better now. Like, I had a little bit of a headache when I came in, and I felt a little bit sick, but
you
now...
You just said you need a poo still.
I don't need to go to the bathroom, no.
You don't? You just said you
did. No. But yeah, I'm just excited because we had a pretty cool doctor on the podcast today.
Dr. Alex George of Love Island and NHS fame.
Yeah. He is. He's our favourite doctor probably in the world now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I quite like my doctor. And also I got a lot of cousins and uncles who are doctors. So I like them. No.
So you like them more than Dr. Alex?
Yes. No, yes.
Can you...
I'm interested to talk to Dr. Alex because, you know, he's a doctor and he'll have some... You know, I kind of... We want to get a bit of a discussion going about being a doctor and the NHS and see what, you know, I'll play devil's advocate a bit.
Mm-hmm.
See what goes on.
Okay. Well, this was the episode today. It was very exciting. We spoke about the NHS. We spoke about life as a doctor. We spoke about so many things. And also, don't forget, if you stay till right the end listening, we're going to give you a little preview of next week's episode, which is very exciting. Stick around
and
for that.
Let's not forget the answer to the question of the week is at the end of the episode.
Exactly. So stick around for that. Plus, a big shout out to Now TV streaming service for sponsoring us. We love you guys. Right, here is the episode with Dr. Alex from Love Island.
Dr. Alex George of Love Island.
Enjoy.
Here we go.
Why do you do that clap thing? Everyone always does it.
It's basically a sound cue. Yeah, it's an audio cue.
I thought it's the sound to shut up. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
No, I honestly thought everyone does that.
That's why everyone does it. They go, and then everyone...
But whenever you're expecting it, it's always when you're just like...
Yeah. And then you're basically alert. We're ninjas.
Yeah, ready to go.
Yeah.
No, I...
Well, it's so you can line up the different audio files so they're all in sync.
There we go.
He's such a nerd. Like,
I like that.
Why do you like that? It's like nerdy. Like, I don't understand.
There's the nerd corner over here. Like, we're slightly more sophisticated.
Don't worry about it.
You're looking cool, mate.
I feel very cool, actually, in front of you guys. But
you don't look cool. As long as you feel that way.
Firstly, if we go down coolness, okay, you guys, look at you. Okay, so you're wearing like a pink bomber. All right.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. You're wearing.
Winter's coming, man. I'm ready.
You're wearing a pink bomber. Francis, you're wearing a jersey. Look what I'm wearing.
A jersey.
Yeah. What is it?
Well, it's a jumper.
That's yeah, but like a jersey, or is it a?
You mean? Look at you. You're wearing a matching grey sweat.
Well, it's not matching.
It's kind of matching. Okay, and then I got.
And then your Yankees.
He's matching a seat. He's got some yellow to the seat.
Yeah, and then I've got
your dirty, sweaty Yankees hat.
It's not a dirty, sweaty Yankees hat.
Isn't it?
It looks
quite sweaty.
Why does it look sweaty in any way?
And it's got all those pills, like those little lint pills all over it. So
he needs a we can roll his hair. We can do lint rolling.
Yeah.
What do you mean roll? And also
it's got like dog hairs on it.
What about my Pharrell Williams shoes that he gave to me personally?
Is that true?
No, he didn't. But I reckon that if you met me, he would.
Via Footlocker or something.
No, it wasn't via Footlocker. It was actually Selfridges. I went and bought the yellow ones, the white ones, and the black ones.
Are they?
Baller. Yeah. Baller in the corner. Yeah.
So
cool.
Now who's cool, all right? Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. Joined with us today, we are very, 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 very excited. Dr. Alex. Dr. Alex from Love Island. Dr. Alex from the NHS. Dr. Alex from your television shows. Shows or show? Probably show. Buddy. Hi, man.
Hey, man.
Doctor. How are you?
Hey there. Now, I'm very excited to be here, actually. You know, you guys are, you know, you have a good laugh.
We're heroes of yours. Yeah, we get it. And you're also a hero of ours, which is like... Yeah.
Did you watch Love Island?
Dude, did I freaking watch it? Yes, I did watch it.
Can you speak a bit further away?
No, I've always talked like this.
You don't need to speak that close.
I do this every single time.
I know, and it's always too loud.
He's like what's called Motson on the, you know, the what you call. He just like speaks like that on the mic.
No, I speak like this in the microphone because I'm like Liam Gallagher. Isn't it or Noel Gallagher?
You like things being up and around your mouth. In and around.
I'm very picky about what I put in my mouth, actually. So,
yeah,
and also, we've got a doctor in the house, so he can tell us all the things that you can and can't put in your mouth.
I'd stick to having your... What have you got here? You've got grapes and whatnot.
We've got grapes and things like that.
I'll stick to grapes that. Either. No, that's the less healthy option.
That's
Maltesers.
That's the other thing. I think we spoke about this before, but this is the other thing when it comes to sort of...
Grapes are high glycemic index, so it's a lot of fast-release glucose. So you get an insulin response. So actually, probably about the same.
But because it's green, you feel better about eating it.
Yeah, exactly.
Bullshit. I call bullshit. Do you think because it's green, you feel better about eating it?
I think green things are generally better for you, aren't they, in life?
Well, definitely than
mostly.
Chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there are more nutrients in...
What about bogies? They're green. They're not good for you.
They're not bad for you, mate.
Why do people... I find it so repulsive when people pick their nose and they eat it. I don't...
A pot called black kettle black.
Say that again.
Pot called a kettle black.
No.
Try that one more time.
Yeah. I think you're throwing stones in glass houses once again. Because I saw you pick a bogey and eat it literally 10 minutes ago.
I swear my life, I've never eaten a bogey in my life.
Well, you shouldn't swear on your life so easily because you're going to die.
I've never, ever, ever... Do you ever swallow your bogeys? No,
it's not a habit I've ever picked up, actually. But I think it's a child. You make that... I think it's one thing as a child, you either do or you don't, and that's it for life. You're done.
But what kind of...
You're either a bogey picker or you're not.
What kind of...
It's me and him.
Yeah, but I'm not a bogey. What habits then do you have? Do you have any habits in life that you do? Like, for example, when I walk down the street now, I can't walk across three drains. Because if I walk across three drains, I feel like something bad's going to happen. Or, you know, and every single time I walk over them, I now have to... I used to have this problem where I had to spit on the ground, so I'd be walking across 3J.
Is and then that I'd, part of the thing?
Disgusting.
I don't think that's part of it.
That's what I would have to do. Do you have any of those kind of habits or no?
Not those kind of ones. No, I think the only thing I got kind of... only my weirdest thing is I do have an obsession with hair dryers.
Oh, really?
That's if you watch the show, you'd know that as well.
You have an obsession with hair dryers?
I did watch the show. I actually watched every episode except for the first one. But...
Yeah, don't need to watch the first one.
No.
Believe the first one.
I watched the first one.
I remember now. That was your big moment. I'm trying to forget about that one.
Yeah. Wait, what happened, Francis?
He didn't get picked by anyone.
No. All the ladies just stood there blankly, and I just kind of stood there blankly as well. And
You should have walked in with your badge clipped to your skin. You should have clipped it to your skin.
If I did it again, what I'd have done, I'd have walked in with Yeah, no, what I had is best uncle on his t-shirt with a doctor badge and a stethoscope, and then like a baby, obviously, who would be my nephew, and then a puppy. And then so, I might have had a chance.
So yeah, I have a question. So you know that there were these sort of little VTs that they intercut throughout the series, and one of them is you as a doctor going into a cubicle with a patient. And then coming up,
it was a nurse. That was a nurse, a patient.
Oh, right. Let's make that. Okay, because to me it looked like a patient.
No, going, it was going.
So I was like, God, that's quite racy for a doctor to be.
Yeah, no, yeah. Wait, explain what happened.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but you shut the like curtain.
Pull the curtain back.
Are you being sexy? What is the kind of vibe of it?
Yeah, it's kind of
a bit of head throwing.
And then you're coming out like, I thought it was a patient, but maybe that wasn't clear enough.
Well, the narrative wasn't quite there.
The nurse's outfit clearly didn't distinguish it. But
no, and then you come out and you're like doing up your top and you're like, yeah.
Surely that is kind of implying if you're like a pilot or an air hostess and they film you like going into the loo and joining the Mile High Club, which is highly illegal and inappropriate.
I think it violates the Hippocratic Oath, right?
I think it was just a bit of fun and a play on it, to be honest. So it was a funny.
So you didn't actually sleep with her?
No.
But what I found
is she was an actress. So. Not a nurse.
You don't sleep with actresses.
Absolutely not.
As a rule.
Best of all.
No actresses. So if you're listening, I'm sorry. Sorry?
Have you had a bad experience?
Oh, no. My girlfriend is an actress. So I thought you were talking.
Is that why you're saying it?
No, I thought you were saying that. No, actresses, I couldn't recommend more. Speaking
you,
from
Jamie?
Personal experiences.
My sister's an actress. Not that I
personal
sleep,
experience.
So sleep again, with my sister.
So again, you're not one. Yeah, to, so
I
don't.
But I think. I dated an actress once. I dated her. Her name was and she.
Why do you always say that? You say, I'm going to say her name, and then we just have to bleep it out. You're making Polly's job a nightmare.
Yeah, but she needs to get her pay worth. Is that right? Is that the right saying?
What?
I don't really know what I'm saying.
Well, you have to get your money's worth.
You have to get your money's worth. Yeah. But I dated this girl, and she was an actress, and she was so sweet. But then by the end, I've never come across someone who was so...
We don't need to know that. Come on, it's far too much information.
I've never been with someone who became so kind of... not that actresses are like that, but she started throwing gin bottles at my head. I remember one time I came back in and she threw a gin bottle at my head and I ducked.
Don't paint all actresses with the same brush that you...
That was my experience.
Well, this actress was very lovely anyway. She was very,
okay,
very good.
So, but you said you wouldn't have had sex with her. But anyway, so my point being that as we went through the series, and that clip got played a few times...
Absolutely.
It was conspicuous to me because it was kind of out of step with who you were as a person. Mm. And I just wondered whether that was your idea... to have that scene where you go in and sleep with the patient, nurse, or whether that was something that they directed or...
Yeah, I mean, it was their idea. I think they come up with like ideas they think would be kind of... Because it's all supposed to be a bit of
whether
fun.
You weren't like, I want a scene
specifically
let's have a scene where I'm on call and I have sex with the...
And you just catch them in the mouth. I mean, they just basically want to make it be a lighthearted intro. It's supposed to be a stereotyping of everyone's role. So, like, you know, Laura being the hostess and etc. It's all supposed to like stereotype each role.
You should have done. Hindsight's 2020. You should have actually had you as the mobile doctor going around in your supercars calling in patients.
I should have done that. Shouldn't I? That'd be more fitting if I had a supercar.
Hindsight. But the thing I think what everyone wants to know, not what we're interested in, is the fact that, you know, Love Island is this huge, ginormous show. And you were you went to university, you became a doctor. I mean, unbelievable. And then you decided to take this kind of leap of faith and go into the television world. And I suppose, what was your decision into doing it? Why did you decide to go into Love Island?
I mean, it's a funny one because, you know, I'm a doctor. I mean, since age about 12, 13, I pretty much knew I wanted to do it. My goal was always very clear and I was really, really focused on that.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved, at university, I loved training, and I'm an A&E doctor now and I actually love my job, which is very lucky.
I'm still an A&E doctor. So how do you balance that?
Well, this thing, I was working in A&E and I had a message on Instagram actually from one of the producers saying, do you want to go on Love Island? My first reply was genuinely, which one of the boys?
Yeah, get me on there now.
I was like, you're having a laugh. Who's pranking me kind of thing? Yeah, and then she's like, no. And then they kept saying, like, just come for an interview, come for an interview. And I was like, I just don't think this is for me. And basically, I was like, do you know what? Why can't I? Why can't I do something that's really different and out there? And I've been single for 3 years, so clearly I need some desperate help. So I was like, why not? So I went to the interview, and then before you know it, honestly, I was walking in there getting pie.
Really?
So it was very short, it was very quick. There was no me planning going, this is, I generally, like, I'm not bothered, to be honest, about fame at all. And I was very happy in my life.
And I generally believe you. Yeah. I honestly really do.
I was just kind of like, this is
sounds like you don't though.
You're very much like me. I didn't do it for fame. I did not.
Sausage.
It sounds very deep, but like whenever I do talk to people, like I do sadly meet a lot of people who are at the end of their lives for different reasons, and some expect it to happen, some don't. And you always have that conversation. What people say is they regret things they haven't done in life, and that's genuinely true. And they say, I wish I'd have done that, and you know, why did I miss that opportunity? Why didn't I take that job? Or why didn't I go and live in the US for a year or whatever?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it's completely out. I mean, it's slightly different on Love Island, but I was like, it's something like, it's an opportunity that will not come around again. Well, and most people never get the opportunity. So why not?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I think it's an interesting proposition as well, you know, a doctor coming on. What I was just wondering is, you know, whether there were any, eyebrows raised at the NHS, at your place of work. Were they like, well, whether there was a discussion about whether that was appropriate for an A&E doctor.
So I spoke to Mike, because obviously it was all very much non-disclosure to the max, obviously me going on the show, but I spoke to my consultants about it, and they were actually really supportive. They were like, it's good that, you know, you're doing something like this and showing that, you know, doctors, yeah, we are like very professional and stuff, but we can do something very different.
And it raises the profile, right?
Me going on the show doesn't make me not professional. And I think it's given me this incredible platform now where I can talk about things that affect people, like sexual health, mental health, huge issue, sexual health.
Yeah, I can agree with
that. Body image. And I feel like now I'm very fortunate to have the position or have a platform that I hopefully can start trying to talk about these things.
And just quickly, because we touched on it, mental health, right? I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, France and I come from, and possibly we come from experiences of anxiety and depression due to different situations. Mm. And honestly, I've just done a television show, which I can talk about now, where I'm a police officer. So I went and shot a documentary for Channel 4. Mm. It's called Fighting Crime. And I was a police officer in Peterborough for 2 weeks as a special. And it was completely real. It's amazing.
Amazing.
But what I discovered is that mental health is literally a lava going through towns and city and villages and all these kind of places, and it's almost unstoppable. And I feel so, I met this poor girl whose brother had been on the cognitive therapy list for a year.
Yeah,
and the demons and the things that he must be going through, and he can't get treatment because there's not enough help, and there's just not enough people, right?
Mm. I think the key message and things that I think people have to realize the change that mental health affects everyone. It's not something like 1 in 4 people have mental health issues. We all have physical and mental health. And at different points in our lives, we'll all need support for different reasons. Yeah. Some people need more or less than others. And I guess our services are just not set up for that. The people within mental health work very hard, the doctors, nurses, support workers, but they don't have, I think, enough funding at the moment. And there's not enough of them. Like you say, it can take months to be seen by a psychiatrist or a professional in certain areas because of the demand.
You speak like a doctor.
He is a doctor.
Yeah, I know. But when you go into like the doctor, you go like, "Help me, doctor." You're so reassuring, but like full of information at the same time. What doctors are? I mean, I love it. I'm a big fan of. I go.
Well, I'm sure. Actually, you know, going back to my first question, I think you probably have inspired a lot of people who were maybe on the fence about whether they wanted to go and, become a doctor or go to med school. I'm sure you probably pushed
There's
quite
been
a few
number of messages come through and people saying that, like, I was thinking about like applying and all that. It's amazing really that if that's inspired some people to do something that was a rewarding career.
You've shown that you can still have a life outside of that. And so going back to the NHS, you know, like, what would you change about the NHS? Because obviously in terms of rankings, you know, in European health systems, it's the lowest ranked, you know, health system. Like, what would you change to fix it? I mean, do you think it's right, say, for example, that Jamie and I or someone who maybe can afford to pay for treatment can just walk in off the street and charge that to the NHS? Or do you think there should be some sort of small fees paid for small checkups or things like that? Or what would you do to streamline it and make it more cost efficient? And
I think it's such a difficult question. I think no one really knows the
answer. And it's a political hot potato because people don't want to people don't want to criticize it or talk about it negatively.
I think for me, like, obviously I'm not a politician and I'm not knowing it high enough to really comment too much on those things. But from my experience and what I do within A&E, I think it's so important that people are able to come in at a time of need. It doesn't matter how much money you have, where you're from, you should be able to access healthcare.
Emergency healthcare.
Yeah. And it is difficult. We do have to somehow fund and pay for the NHS. And it does, for me, it has to still exist. And however we do that, is important that we achieve that.
I think definitely, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, so people are calling out, like there was an article the other day that I read that some people had called out the ambulance 36 times in a month.
Would some individual person
frivolous reasons and you know, like, obviously because emergency services are something that's so, like, if one ambulance goes one place, there's not another ambulance,
and it's finite resources. It's hugely expensive
and right now anyone can just go in and take up time of a GP for a cold or something that's actually could easily be treated or at least diagnosed over the phone or, you know, via.
What would worry me about charging people is you're going to hit the you're going to target or maybe punish a certain demographic that can't afford, and actually whether it will change.
But people can afford, you know, like, so.
Yeah,
so,
but there are some people who literally can afford nothing.
I'm not. Mm. No. I'm not saying either way. I'm just asking out of interest, because that's obviously the debate, right? So, but you know, if there was a charge for some aspects, even if it was like £5, £10 charge for a thing, it's a sort of peak pricing model which would disincentivize some people for going for unnecessary things.
But the other thing from my perspective as a doctor, what you can worry about as well is that, you know, little old ladies and little old men who worry about going to the doctor and the hospitals to hospital anyway. You're kind of
off,
saying, look, everyone, you need what you're doing by putting a financial penalty, if you like, in a way, or a cost, is that you're saying, look, there's too many of you coming to the hospital. And a lot of these people don't come anyway, and they come in the last second when they're having a crushing heart attack, rather than coming in 2 days early when the pain starts. So that's the worry.
I thought the evidence is that too many people are coming for reasons that they don't need to go.
But it's all to do with what people. So if you look at So if you look at that's a correction.
You just corrected him. He just corrected you.
Thanks for that.
What the hell?
I thought I didn't know whether I was.
I'm just a passenger on this debate. I'm quite liking it for once. I'm just sitting this is the first time I've ever sat back in any podcast.
Jamie, it's not a debate. It's a discussion because I'm just interested.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think the problem is, I'm not sure that anyone knows the answer at the moment.
Yeah.
It's such a difficult topic. I think from as soon as you say, right, let's put a financial penalty or whatever, a cost in it, yes, that will probably reduce some of the numbers, but are we then pushing the wrong people away?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if we don't do anything, we're having too many people come through the door. So it is difficult. And quite honestly, I don't know what the answer is.
But what is, so you going back to what you said, what is your drive to work as a doctor? What drove you to do that? Was it to help people? Was it because you loved it? Was it because you're a vampire and you like blood? I mean, what do you enjoy about it?
I think my favourite thing about being a doctor is the people you meet from every background, every demographic. I work at Lewisham Hospital, so a lot of our cohort doesn't have a huge amount of money and maybe are from challenging circumstances. But then equally, you can have, you know, a celebrity or something else walking. You have such a range of people and each person has an amazing story. You could have someone that comes in that's really, really angry and abusive towards you, and then you find out something about them that explains that. It's just amazing. It's like detective work in a way. You just meet.
Well, you are essentially a detective. You're sort of, cancelling out and delineating this specific,
when we first met, because we met when I did Love Island After Sun, and you told me the story that once.
And Jamie was very nice to me, fair, because I was a shaken mess when I was about to.
Yeah, but really? No. When you left.
Well, yeah, because I literally was pushed. That's the first time I've been in a room more than 20 people, and I was like, "Here's a live audience, and you're about to get rinsed."
And also, I felt so sorry for you, because if I'm completely honest, the girl who I met, who was so lovely. I from my experience of knowing you, she's completely not your type,
I have another thing to say about that, because that last episode where she had a go at you, I felt for you in those circumstances, because I personally, and actually this is no offense to you, I don't think she was as keen as she liked to make out, and I think
it's a TV show.
I think she was motivated to go for you in the end, in the ending stages of that thing, and then wanted to get the sympathy vote. So she really milked it. Like I think she really, well, from what I could see, she was really trying to milk it and get the audience.
Yeah, it's difficult to say, but I mean, a lot of it as well is what's shown. I mean, in that conversation I had with her mother and Alexandra, they didn't show when I explained like why I felt I did. They just showed
which
me
which is a completely
rinsed.
It was such a valid reason. I mean,
I got rinsed and then that was it. Like, well, yeah, move on.
And I mean, actually, fine. I think you're. Do you know what? Yeah. I think you're probably the first person in Love Island history not to just stay in a relationship for the sake of the chance of winning the money.
At the end of the day,
and I think that's probably quite.
Not stupid. Even in there, I'm not stupid. Knowing that if I'd have stuck with Alexandra, we probably would have been in the final. Even in that position we were in, realistically, we probably would have been.
For sure.
But I was like, I'd rather not be in that final than be there and stand there with a pretense or knowing that I'm just faking it. It's just
exactly.
And then have to live.
I love that.
And then the decision I had to make. Because I was in my head. I was like, do I want to
see Francis? Francis would have stuck with it. You would have been in there, and you'd have stuck with it. 100%. You would have stuck with it to the end.
No, I don't think I don't know if I would have gone on it, but I think not that there's anything wrong with you doing it, but I think it speaks a lot about you that you didn't do that.
Thank
and then you would have
fine.
That you would have had that awkward moment when you left where you'd have to work out how to break up without, you know, jeopardizing potential commercial opportunities.
And let's touch on that point, because have you been in a relationship before?
Yeah, I had a 4-year relationship through university.
Okay, and did you have to do the breaking up, or did she do the breaking up?
It was kind of a mutual breaking up. We basically like.
And it's never mutual, is it? It's it was mutual. It's never mutual. I really don't think it is. It's more one person pushes one other the other way. No,
another one goes, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm really unhappy. Yeah.
We're actually both.
Thank God you spoke about it.
Me too. Yeah.
But what is the best way? And I think a lot of listeners go through this. What is the best way to break up with someone? How do you do it? Do you just be straight up honest? Do you sort of force them away?
Tell you what, doing it on live TV, on national TV wasn't the best way. I think avoid doing that for sure.
Yeah.
Try and do it in private if you can. But
don't they? Yeah,
I think she'll be honest, haven't you?
Yeah,
she's got to be honest. That's what I was just like. Look, this is what I feel.
The thing is, it's one of those situations which you can't win. Like you can't win. No one's going to leave a situation like that feeling great about it. You know, okay. So I think you're right. In every instance, the best solution is just to be honest about your feelings, right?
I still tell you this story where I still weirdly, like, it's so many years later I think about it. I remember when someone broke up with me, and I honestly, like, I was begging them to stay. I was like, oh, I tell this story to you, Francis, before, but I was begging for them to, like, stay with me, like, honestly, like, on my hands and knees crying, and I was thinking, what am I doing? Because he goes, please,
it's horrible,
I'll do anything. And then I remember speaking to them on the phone. And I said, can I just see you on Tuesday? They went, oh, I'm busy Tuesday. And I went, Wednesday? And they were like, and I was like, Wednesday?
Right, Thursday, yeah.
Thursday. And every single time I said another day, I felt their libido literally just closing even more. They were like, stop being so psycho. It's crazy. But going back to things, I remember you telling me a story when we first met. You came outside the hospital and someone had shot someone. Wasn't that right? And that's pretty intense and pretty scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you get situations like that. And how do you keep that level head and keep that kind of like moment where you go, right, this professional zone? Because I suppose, talking of mental
what
health...
What would you do? Would you just scream and run away?
Oh my God, there's so much blood! I'd scream like that.
Yeah, imagine if you were a doctor. That would be quite something.
What would I... I'm freaking good at operation. Have you ever done that? You know where you put it in
that's,
there?
Exactly.
I think you'd have to change his attire a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I'd be like the...
Hey, that's cool. Not good. You know, you've got... Doctors can have a terrible fashion sense as well.
Why are you looking at me with that?
No, because you're the exception, obviously.
But I suppose what the thing is that like you have to deal with like different scenarios day to day, whether it's death, whether it's like seeing gory things. How do you handle those situations? Because whatever they say, you're a human being, and this is what I noticed when I did the police show, is that these police officers and the same as well, you're seeing some horrific things on a daily basis, but at the same time, you're a human being. And so you have the same emotions as everybody else. And we kind of forget that, I think, within that you're not a superhero. So how do you kind of not get...
I always forget that, Alex, it's not a superhero.
Yeah.
I guess a way to, like, put it this way is that when you start, like, at med school, you see something and be like, oh, my God, I'm so shocked in your first year. And then over time...
What was the first thing that you saw?
You get desensitized.
Do you know what? I nearly fainted when I saw someone having blood taken.
I started my first day at med school, honestly.
Really? Were you not like, shit, maybe
I
this
think,
is...
I bet all the doctors like, he's going to go far.
What do you say about the desensitization, though, is a good, like, I guess this is something that actually hit me and realised that you become a little bit desensitised or you learn to compartmentalise, maybe. Is that when
you
I was...
You basically become a psychopath. That's you just lose all empathy.
You just got to... Well, I mean, I remember there was we had a cardiac arrest in recess one day, and that day I was teaching at, I think it was 3 third-year medical students. I'd met them for the first time that day, and we ran the cardiac arrest, and I said to them as we were doing it, do you want to take over doing some chest compressions? That's the first time they'd ever done it, three of them. So they each were taking turns because you rotate as you're doing that. And eventually the decision was made to stop. It was futile. And then the decision was made that I was going to go and speak to the family. So I said, right, we'll go and speak to the family. They're in the family room. Let's go and have the conversation. As we left the cubicle...
Oh, my God.
Left the cubicle, Jesus. I turned around to tell you where they were. They were following me, and all three of them started crying. And there was a moment, it took me probably about... a few seconds that I actually looked at them and said, I thought in my head, like, why are they crying? And then I was like, oh... And that's when you I just didn't see it.
Because without realizing it, this is your. It's like passing a rugby or kicking a football.
Well, wouldn't make that kind of comparison.
Yeah, that's a weird comparison. But in a sense, you zone into the professionalism that this is an everyday occurrence within the job that you're doing. So you don't really take note of it the way some people are skilled in other ways. They don't think that's so skillful if you're playing a trumpet. Where you're a doctor, that's what you experience every single day, that it doesn't sort of register within you.
So you don't think. Trumpet it. That's not skillful. No, but what you're trying to say is that after a while it becomes...
You learn to control and climb. But it's funny because some things still throw you every now and then. I think whenever you get reminded of your mortality, like if I... For me, like I used to cycle to work, and if I ever saw a cyclist that was hit by a bus or something, that would always... Mm. It always would get you a little bit because it's just awakening. It's just a little bit of like, oh, that's really close to home.
Yeah, death is just around the corner.
It does, it can certainly sharpen the mind.
And just because I think this is for you, Francis, sexual health, all those sexual diseases.
I think you're projecting here.
No, I'm not projecting anything. I just want to get into it.
Because you still haven't got your results last week.
I don't.
Jamie gets tested every couple of weeks.
No, well, that's good. If you are, then I'm proud of you. That's
good. I have a wonderful girlfriend who I only...
Let her do the test and you just learn that by... You're like, have you got... Is it all clear or have I got something to...
No, but I think that people need to definitely... And again, we have a young listenership and they should definitely be,
get tested.
No, but using protection is so important, isn't it? For sure.
It's hugely important. I think that's one of the things that coming off the show, that's why I want to focus on sexual health because I think...
it can ruin your life.
Guys and girls use condoms? And how much stigma is there around
only there? Only sailors use condoms. Isn't that the same?
You've never used a condom, have you?
I have used a condom. When I have a posh wank, that's when I... No, I'm kidding. I don't... Obviously, when I have sex with...
I thought you said you'd never used one.
I did. I didn't tend to... No, I would never... The problem that I had, and this is true, I would never think about using a condom in this situation because I firstly think that... When
it's uncool.
No, but it's an interesting thing to discussion to have because
no, it is.
Why?
Because I think that normally when I was having sex with someone, it would normally you're intoxicated because it's very rare to have sober sex unless you're in a relationship. Really?
What?
Yeah. Do you not think that?
You don't have... Yeah.
No, I know, I do now, obviously. Now I turn off all the lights, I close all the windows, we don't look at each other, we get into bed. But when you're when you're out of a relationship and you're being promiscuous...
So you can only have sex drunk?
I don't think I would if I was going out and
that's
I was
weird.
Not that I could only have sex drunk. I would probably most likely most days have sex when I was drunk because
is that
because
you're drunk all the time?
No, because I'm drunk all the time. No, it's because
you need some down days.
No, because I would go to a nightclub or a bar or whatever it was, or go to
Jack's bar in Chelsea. Or something.
Yeah, exactly. Go there.
Hey, he's no stranger to Jack.
Fulham boy. Oh. I would probably pick up a girl or whatever.
Obviously,
and I would
probably
go.
The probability is high.
And I would go home and I wouldn't think about using a condom because my cognitive thinking had gone out my brain because I was intoxicated. And therefore, I would then wake up the next morning and I would have such anxiety about if I'd caught something, what it would be.
Would he have worn a condom?
he never wore a condom. It was fine. But I was always worried about that. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realise is that it is pretty rife within our community, these things.
Yeah, it's so important because if you look at between 16 and 24-year-olds, if you test that cohort, 1 in 10 of them will... come back positive for chlamydia. That's
1 in 10.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One in ten, and last year.
Shit, it's amazing that you've not got it more than.
I've never had chlamydia.
Really?
Never.
When was your last test? I know that's too few.
No, you can ask me. My last test was before, as I was starting dating my girlfriend, I had a test.
And that's great. Yeah. That's the kind of
Well, also, you don't want to like go. You wouldn't want to start a relationship with someone having that. On your conscience.
The worst, because we've done some podcasts, I forget if I told the story or not, so forgive me, but you haven't heard it. I remember I was sitting around a table. We were in Val d'Isère, and I'd been partying there. It was when I was about 20 years old, and I'd been partying for about literally like a week straight, because you were in this slope, having the best time in the world. And you know when you party for so long that you sort of get that sort of layer on your tongue, just you get that sort of unhealthy layer that just looks unhealthy. You get like a white sort of like smudge on it that you just sort of dehydrate and things like that. And mine was sort of a yellow colour. And we're sitting around this table of like 12 people, all my friends, and this girl was next to me, and I was kind of hooking up with this girl next to me, and I put my tongue out, and they went, "Oh my God, you got this yellow tongue." And I went, "Oh, let's Google it. And we Googled it, and the first thing that came up was HIV. And so obviously I was then like, what? I was like, what the hell has happened here? And it's this honestly so terrifying that, you know, this sort of the obviously I didn't have it, which was good, but you forget how like rife these things are within in our community, and people don't really think about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an issue that's definitely affecting us hugely at the moment. Like, yeah, if you think 1 in 10 of that age group, that's really significant.
Is it really that much? It can't be one in ten.
And then people go, well, chlamydia is easy to treat. You take a pill, right? It's easy to treat. But the big concern about it is that if you're not getting tested, which a lot of that age group aren't getting tested at the moment, and you're, say, giving to other people, you may well be giving someone a disease that can cause infertility.
Yeah.
It can give...
Yeah, no, it can ruin their life. Yeah.
It can cause such, like, chronic issues.
It's really, like, I think it's there's something quite psychopathic about people who go around having sex with people without actually getting tested, because it's... I don't think it's a good example. And I didn't really think that last year's Love Island really actually did its duty in... making the point that people should be wearing protection, as much as I think they did a bit more in your series. I do think it's so important, and it's there's something kind of nasty and sociopathic about people who don't, right? And actually, people, because
I just can't think it's 1 in 10 people. That is, Polly, I mean, Polly, get tested. I'm just saying, Polly, our editor. I'm just saying, there's 10 of us in the room, pretty much. So one of us has it. So yeah, and it's yeah,
and it's definitely you.
It's probably Sarah. She's the quiet one.
Yeah, Sarah in the corner freaking out. We see Sarah in the corner.
She's looking uncomfortable over there.
Yeah, yeah, running out. I just need to quickly go. But also, just quickly, I remember when I had my. I had my first ever test. I was dating a girl, actually the girl that I cried about, and I was about 16 years old. And we actually never ended up having sex, but she said to me, "I'm not going to have sex with you unless you get yourself tested. I'm 16 years old," which is kind of quite bright of her.
Absolutely.
And I went to the doctor. So this must have been about, 13 years ago. And I went to the doctor. I remember there was this really like Jack the Lad in front of me who was like laughing and joking and all really loud. And he got taken, went into the room first. And he then went into the bathroom or whatever, and I went into the room, and you had to go and pee in a pot. So I went to the bus and pee in a pot. And the Jack the lad came out the bathroom. And honestly, he had the juxtaposition to what he was before. He had then suddenly turned into this like quivering wreck. And I went to him, and there was blood in the loo. And I was like, oh my God, what's this? And I went back in. He obviously had something, but went back in. And they used to do this swab within your
urethra.
Urethra. And it was the most... It basically looked like, to all our listeners, it looked like a...
urethra.
Yeah, urethra. It looked like a...
You're going to urethra.
It's a eureka moment.
You're going to closing parties at urethra.
How did it go for you? Did you have to have that? Or did you just pee in the pot?
No, I peed in the pot and had the swab as well, which it was...
For most men, so if you went in that situation, you had no symptoms and you're well and you're going for a checkup, you do the pee in the pot and a blood test, that's it. If you have symptoms, you may need to have a swab, but now it's a tiny little thing and you touch the top.
It hurts, man. It doesn't hurt. I mean, whatever
so
you say.
So you obviously had symptoms.
Okay. No, I didn't have symptoms. It was a thorough check. That's what they said to me.
Like, I insist on it.
But also, just before we have question of the week, there was interesting that I heard recently. I'm reading this book, which is, you've probably heard of it. It's about a doctor who has put all of his notes together.
Yeah.
And it's called, the name of it, I can't quite remember.
Yeah.
It's called This Is Going to Hurt by Who?
Adam Kay.
Do you represent him? Look at that. That is very good. I love that.
I haven't read the book yet, but it's supposed to be. A load of my friends have, and they said it's amazing.
That's because you just read it for any. What are these symptoms? You were reading the whole book. Yeah.
I really should
something
go to the
in
doctor.
Here. There must be. What is this?
Shit, that's me. Actually, that's the
yeah, this is it. But he said something so interesting that until 2012, when the laws got changed, when you got your medical degree, when you were able to become your doctor's license, you were then never checked. For the rest of your life. Once you became a doctor, you were then never checked again whether you could remember anything or do anything or anything like that. But now those laws have changed, aren't they? You're checked.
Do you mean testing for blood tests?
No, test as in like you still were up to scratch.
You're always doing exams. Like your consultants are still doing revalidation.
But that only started in 2012, apparently. Is that a lie?
As you progress throughout your career, even prior to then, you still have to do exams at each stage, which almost like prove that you've hit the next milestone. So I'm not sure exactly what it means. You might mean revalidating, but certainly now, every year you have to show evidence of appraisal, etc.
So I have a question. Why do you think nutrition doesn't play more of a role in your, or it doesn't factor more in your training than it does?
And I think this is a really good point. I think it's a real topical thing at the moment. And actually, I think a lot of it is within the medical degree. It's about disease.
It's treating,
treating problems. Yeah. But actually, prevention is becoming more and more of an aspect within undergraduate training. And of course, nutrition plays a huge part of that. We know that people's recovery times, your immune system, all these kind of different factors play. Nutrition contributes to that. So it's something that I really want to work on, is trying to get that more embedded within actually not just medical school. It should be in your biology classes.
Yeah.
Within school, and actually, sexual health and mental health should be pushed much more within the school environment and curriculum as well. So
I freaking love you. I'm like obsessed with you. Polly, I'm going to steal that poster you have on you and put it on my wall.
You haven't actually got a poster, have you?
Yeah, she does. Polly is our editor who's sitting in here.
Does she have a poster?
Have you seen the poster?
I have
never seen the inside of her bedroom. So I wouldn't know.
Wow.
But would you, I haven't, that's true.
Have you?
No.
Okay. No one has. Yeah, we met yesterday.
Red.
Give me a couple days.
You're making it go red.
No, I'm kidding. But listen, Alex.
Do you know when you go red, when you blush, your stomach also blushes?
Hey, sweet fact. Right, let's have question of the week.
That was a little bonus fact for you.
You had that one waiting, didn't you? Yeah. So just had that ready.
Just there.
Do you know why flamingos are pink?
Yeah, because of the krill that they eat.
Yeah, that is true. Do you know, did you know that... why there's grooves on a coin? Do you know why they have little grooves on the coin?
Well,
it's an attraction.
No. They have
historically. They obviously would chip away bits of the coin to debase it.
Yeah. To make other coins. Yeah, they would. And that's what
How
they
do.
Do
you know that?
In respect, because we're geniuses. You want to hear another one?
You're passing them a notes under the table.
Do you know why Esso is called the petrol is called Esso?
Because the guy couldn't spell.
Yeah, because he couldn't spell. He wrote on the barrows. He went and told his little minion, said, "Can you go and write on our barrows of oil Esso for standard oil?" And he went, "Okay," and wrote Esso ESSO.
That makes me feel much better when I can't spell on Instagram.
Yeah.
There's big companies out there that are doing the same, so it's fine.
Anyway, we digress. Francis, let's have question of the week.
Okay, maybe a medical one about life.
What, maybe, or is it going to be?
Is it going to be? It might be. Well, it's kind of medical.
Okay.
What age does a human fetus scowl and squint and smile, basically use it, like make facial expressions.
Oh, okay. I think I know this.
It's within the first, so...
I would say... I want to say before you say it, because you're the doctor, so I'm going to give it a guess. So when they can make movements and things, I reckon I'd say 18 weeks.
It's a little bit early. You'd expect...
No. With my training, I definitely think that it's about 18 weeks.
It'd be late. It's hard to say, actually. It'd be late 20 weeks, I'd guess. Some obstetric consultant would be like, oh, you're very wrong. But it would be later on than that, slightly. It's early. It's within the first kind of 4-5 months, I guess. Maybe slightly later than that. 4-5 months.
So they can actually express emotion with their face at this point.
Yeah. Well, they can form movements quite early on because the heart.
Well, obviously they're not scowling like giving death stares, but like they can make the scowl facial expression.
Yeah, comfy.
Or they can squint.
The heart starts beating very, very early on, and they obviously their development of the rest of their fingers and their toes.
And they get their fingerprints when.
Don't know.
This is a double question.
This is a hard question.
Okay, they get their fingerprints.
So they Google it on that.
So
one.
They have to be identifiable by then. So
when do they get their fingerprints?
So how long is it? It's 9 months when you have a baby, which is how many weeks? It's a lot of weeks. How many weeks?
40 weeks.
40 weeks. I reckon
generally 38 to 40 weeks.
So 38 weeks. So I reckon you get fingerprints at about 32 weeks. Okay, wait. So let's lock in our answers. So in terms of facial features, Alex, you're going for
no, not facial features, facial expressions.
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 You're going for 20 weeks.
I'm going to say 20 weeks.
I'm saying 18. Fingerprints, you're going for?
I'm going to say 24 weeks.
24. I'm going to say 32. Do you know what? It's so interesting speaking because, again, you are definitely a doctor because you think before you speak. Which I think doctors do.
No,
do
what
that.
I'm really doing is trying to rack back to like second year med school when they actually taught us all this stuff.
No, but you just, you're...
Jamie never thinks before he speaks.
Don't think, just say.
You're more of a gambling man then, is that what? Is that gambling?
Yeah, I had a real big gambling problem. So.
Did you actually?
No, not really. Well, I had a little, at university I did.
Every day is a gamble.
Do you want to hear a completely true story? I don't think I've ever said this. This is actually terrible. And my dad, if he listens to this, is going to freaking kill me. But he doesn't. So I used to play a lot of poker at university and my dad brought me a Breitling watch for my 21st birthday, a really smart Breitling watch. And I used to gamble a lot on poker for some reason when I was at Leeds and I got into a bit of debt. So I went and sold my Breitling birthday present watch to a pawnbroker. How terrible is that?
That's bad. Also, because a pawnbroker wouldn't have paid you very much.
Nothing at all. But yeah. But I just did it. I mean, till this day, I still regret it.
You need to buy another one.
But I'm over it, totally over it. So I feel really...
Oh, God.
Yeah, I felt really...
Well, he knows now, he'll find out. Someone, if he doesn't listen to it, someone will tell him.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him.
So listen, I'm going to tell him. Anyone who knows my dad, just don't mention it.
Leave that out. Yeah.
Leave that little information behind. We are going to come back in part two. We still have Dr. Alex, we still got Francis' diary, and we're going to have the answer to the question
Where was your diary?
Week. I got lost in translation. See you in part two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.